Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have any of you ever been on a great adventure? I mean a good adventure where you go out and you see the world and you have excitement and things happen. Well, I will tell you, if you ever get in the car with me and we do not have an exact destination in mind, you are in for an adventure. I'm not kidding. 99.999% of the time, if there is not an exact destination that we can plug into the GPS or we know, we are not going to end up anywhere in particular. It seems to happen over and over again. I've done it in San Francisco, I've done it in Arizona, I've done it in San Diego, I've done it in Redondo Beach. One day we said, let's go get coffee. There's this coffee place that we've heard of that people have said, all right, let's go get coffee. Load kids in the car, let's go, and the coffee place is closed because it's a holiday. All right, that wasn't my fault. But all right, so we need something else to do. All right, we're in Redondo Beach, okay? I've not spent time in Redondo Beach, even though it's right there, I will say and admit. But, you know, let's see. There's a beach. Maybe we can find a place to park and see the beach or the pier. Yeah, we wandered for over an hour, never parked the car, never found anything, finally got frustrated and went home. This is a classic Pastor Stacy adventure. We will wander and not find anything and end up going home disappointed. Well, fortunately, that is not the kind of adventure that we have in life, because life really is an adventure. It's something that God has created for us not to be boring and mundane, but something to be lived. And so as we start with this adventure, we start in the gospel today. We start in the gospel of Matthew, the 7th chapter, in the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says these words that I believe are words that tell us how life is intended to be an adventure. Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Hear what I see, and I know there's many ways you can interpret this scripture, but I see, you know, here's the easy way of life. This nice, wide gate that's popular for people to go through, and that's the easy road that you can take. But God says, that's not the way I desire for you to go. I know it's easy. I know it can have less pain and less challenges and less hard work, but don't go that way. He says, over here, though, there's this small and narrow gate. It's tougher to get through. There's more of a challenge. There's more risk to be taken in this gate. He says, but go through this one, because I know the rewards that come at the other end of it. God says, take the challenge of life, the challenge that says, live it, and take the good with the bad, because I know the reward that comes at the end of the work that you do. And so here we have this adventure that we embark upon. And we have our good days and we have our tough days. And what I love is all of this adventure of life can be wrapped up in one Dr. Seuss book called Oh, the Places You'll Go. And I know a year ago we covered all the Dr. Seuss books and we're not going to read it and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but it's my graduation book. And since it's graduation day, I thought, you know, I got to use it. And Oh, the Places You'll Go is so beautiful because it talks about the adventures of life. It talks about the days where you're flying high and you're racing and nothing can stop you and everything is just grand sights. And these are the great days of life. But then it also says, you know, there's those dark places you don't want to go, but you're going to end up in. Those tougher days, those more difficult days, those painful and challenging days, and you're going to have those days just as well. And this is what encompasses the adventure of life. Well, in this adventure, there's one thing that we know. We know that there is going to be I got to remember the wording in my thing that's in your insert. We know that life is not always fair, right? Life is not always fair. We don't always get what we want. We don't always get what we feel that we deserve. If we want to hear about it, I could go so many places in the Bible. There are so many that could scream, this isn't fair of what I'm having to go through. This isn't fair that I'm in this place. God, it's not fair that you're allowing this to happen to me. Why does life have to be this way? Why does the adventure have to go to this place? And the place I wanted to go was into the Psalms, and I landed in Psalm 64. And hear these words of the psalmist that cries out, hear me, my God, as I voice my complaint, okay? Have you ever wanted to say that to God? God, sit there for a minute and let me give you my complaints of what's going on right now. God, which aspect of you is the complaint department? Because I have some to give you. The psalmist says, it's your time to listen to me. I have some complaints to give to you. And what complaints? Well, before he gives the actual complaints, he says, I need to give my complaints. And I need you, protect my life from the threat of the enemy. Listen to me and protect me. And then he goes on to talk about the enemy. Hide me from the conspiracy of the wicked, from the plots of evildoers. They sharpen their tongues like swords. They aim cruel words like deadly arrows. They shoot from ambush at the innocent. They shoot suddenly without fear. They encourage each other in evil plans. They talk about hiding their snares, and they say, who will see it? They plot injustice and say, we have devised a perfect plan. Surely the human mind and heart are cunning. Have you ever felt like that enemy's just bearing down on you? And I love that the psalmist makes sure to say, you know, they ambush the innocent. I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't made mistakes. And yet this is happening to me. This isn't fair. It seems like people or life or the world is after me. This is the low parts of life. God, can you protect me from this? Can't you just put the little bubble wrap around me and then I don't have to feel the pains of this world but can just enjoy the good things that you have created? I mean, these are the tough days we go through. Sometimes those tough days turn into weeks and years. I mean, I look at those graduates and I think about those stages of life that I've gone through. When I transitioned from middle school to high school and the challenges that I faced in high school, mostly the social challenges. Whew, high school's a whole nother world, isn't it? But those challenges of balancing life and getting a driver's license and finding a job and family and church and sports and everything else, but then going into college and here's a whole nother challenge of a world, of looking at a career and getting a degree that's determining your future, the hard work that you put in class after class and semester after semester, really working hard to get that diploma and all of the challenges that goes with it. And then finally getting to that end, and what is it? Passing the test and finding a job, right? Here's the challenge of once you get that degree, that next step of finding that job and finding your way within this world. And there's really great aspects of each of those stages, those fun days and those rewarding days, but there's certainly the challenging ones and the tough ones that go along with it. The ones where we say this just isn't fair that we have to deal with this as human beings. But there's something I know about God. God says life isn't always fair, but God says I'm always going to be there. We could say that again. In our scripture today, we see just that promise. We see our Israelites who have just been put into exile. God has finally snapped and said, I can't do this anymore. It's time for you to learn your lesson. And so out of Israel and out of Judah they go and off into exile, being taken from their homes, their comfort levels, taken from the temple where they worship God and put into this foreign land. Talk about an uncomfortable place to be. Talk about a place where you say, this isn't fair that we have to be here. And here as we get into this part of Isaiah, they have just been sent into exile and we're getting God's first responses through the prophet. And what are the words that come, but not an I told you so, not a you're getting what you deserve, not a here you can learn your lesson now, but God gives the words of comfort. Comfort my people is what God says. They're uncomfortable. They're challenged. They're in pain. They're trying to figure out how to deal with all these changes. And here God gives the words of comfort and hope to them. Here they're crying out in the beginning of our passage, but then God is understanding, and he says, I know as human beings, you grow tired and weary. Life gets to you, and you get to the point where you think, I just don't have anything left right now. God says, I understand this. But then God says, I never grow weary. I never grow tired. God says, you do, but I don't. I will never tell you I don't have enough left for you. I will never tell you I just can't do that right now. God's not going to say there's been too many prayer requests today, too many emergencies and crises. I just don't have room for one more. God says, I have unlimited stores. And then he turns to us and he says, I know you're in this place, but here's my promise to you. He says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And he acknowledges even youth grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. Even the young people get tired, okay? They seem like they have perpetual energy and don't need any sleep. But he says, even they get tired. Even they're going to stumble. But I am the source that's going to give you what you need. He says in 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Other versions say, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. In Oh, the Places You'll Go, there's these very dark pages of the waiting place. This place where nobody wants to be, where you're waiting, just waiting for something. You're waiting for the grass to grow. You're waiting for the mail to come. You're waiting for the phone to ring. We as human beings, we have a tough time waiting, but we wait constantly. You wait for somebody else to be ready. You wait for news from the doctor. You wait in line each and every day. You wait in traffic. You wait to hear good news or bad. We sit around and we wait and we wait and we wait and we get tired of waiting. It seems like it takes forever. But God says, those who wait for the Lord. Meaning what? Those who have the patience and the faith to believe that God will provide, that God will take care of them. He says, if you patiently wait and have faith in me, I will give you the strength that you need to endure all that this life throws at you. And then Isaiah goes on. And Isaiah, if you haven't noted, Isaiah is poetry in this place. We got a lot of poetry in the Bible and a lot of poetic tools that are used in this poetry. Ones that you wouldn't know just looking at it. A lot of times you got to get back to the Hebrew to get to it. But as I was doing my studying for this, I had somebody note that the last three lines of this chapter is what's called a triplet, where God uses these and he uses three lines and each one builds on the other. One that you could think of, and I just used it on Quad on Wednesday, from Ecclesiastes. One thread is easily broken, okay? That's the weakest. Two threads can withstand more. Three threads are not easily broken, right? It goes from the least to the greatest. It increases as it goes. One, then two, then three. This is used several times over within the scripture of how God builds on things. The psalmists build on things. Well, it's being used here at the end of Isaiah, and it kind of changes how we read this verse. Because what do we see? But we oftentimes focus on the soaring like wings like eagles. We love that vision, right? God's going to make it so that we can soar, okay? That feeling of flight, those are the pinnacle moments of life, right? But guess what? We don't fly very often, do we? Unless you're a pilot or you've got a job that's constantly sending you somewhere, you don't fly very often. Those are kind of the treat days when you get to fly instead of driving or walking. Those are the rarer moments. And those flying times in life when we raise up on eagle's wings, those pinnacle days, those mountaintop experiences, those ones that just are above everything else, these are the unusual days in life. The days with new beginnings, the graduations, the new relationships, the new jobs, the new homes. The days where you just look and you say, wow, God, I am so blessed by what you're doing right now. Oftentimes, that's not the day-to-day. Those are the special days. And God says, on those special days, I'm going to help you soar. And when you soar, you are really going to soar, and you're going to fly, and you're going to have those high sights that you're going to see, and we're just going to rejoice together. But this is the first line. God says, even more, those who run will not grow weary. Okay? Marcus, you ran a marathon. Did you ever grow tired in your marathon? Yeah. You know, I think that when I ran my marathon, I would hold this up to God and say, God, I grew weary. Those last 5 miles were like torture. Where's this promise coming through? But running isn't something we constantly do. We might do it more than flying. We probably often do. Maybe it's not a literal running, but it's that marathon of life. The everyday, the tasks that just build up and everything we've got to get done in life and in a day. It's that rat race that we live in. God says, when you've got all that that you need to do, all these things that need to be accomplished, what seems overwhelming, God says you're going to get through that without being weary. If you will wait for me and have faith in my ability to give you the strength and the endurance that you need to get through it. He says, this is the second most important, being able to get through that rat race. But then what's the most important? The third line of the triplet. God says, they walk and will not be faint. Guess what God says is the most important? God's not saying it's those high-flying moments. God's not saying it's that running ourselves to death in life. God is saying the most important are those day-to-day steps that we take. That ability to wake up each morning and get out of bed. That ability of no matter what's going on, to keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep moving. God says, this is the most important. I will help you in the everyday things that you need to do, and you're not gonna fall because I'm gonna hold you up, take care of you, and provide for you. He's saying this to the Israelites in exile. He's saying, you remember your ancestors? They spent 40 years in the desert. What was the day-to-day? They needed to eat each day, and each day I gave them manna and quail. Each day, the baby steps, I gave them just what they needed to take each day one step at a time. And he says, you in exile, I will do just the same for you. And he looks at us and he says, I will do just the same for you. I will keep your feet moving one in front of the other, the day-to-day routines in life, and we'll have those moments when we run together, and we'll have those moments when we fly together and we rejoice. But God says, through every bit of it, I will be there and give you what you need if you will just patiently wait on my provision and on my love. My friends, this is the promise of God. This is what God says, I, your loving creator, will do for you. And so let us wait upon the Lord, not with impatience, not with doubts, but with faith that God will be our God right to the very end. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for this life that we call an adventure, for all the twists and turns and all the ups and downs and for all of the excitement that we have, for this adventure that we have people to experience it with and be with. We especially give you thanks for those high-flying moments when we get to celebrate and just be excited for what is happening in our lives. And we lift up those valley moments to you. Those times when life seems tough, those times when it seems we can't take anymore, those times when it seems like we just don't have enough in the stores to do what we need to do. We pray that you will keep to your promise and that by your Holy Spirit, you will help us to have the patience and the faith to wait upon you. For Lord, you are our provider, our rock, and our redeemer. And so we give all of this to you in your most mighty name. Amen.